Hey guys, I absolutely love that you're checking out and listening to the podcast. And I only have one ask quickly, and that would be if you could please share this podcast with somebody else that you maybe know that is going through the system or struggling to navigate it from the youth soccer perspective. And that would mean the absolute world to me because, as you know, I don't sell anything through the podcast and I don't have any sponsorships. And the more people that I can help, that is my overall objective. So I would absolutely love if you could share this with somebody. Take the 5 seconds to do so by sending it through social media or WhatsApp or whatever way that you like to share content, and I will make sure that I continue to deliver valuable and insightful content for you. Welcome to the Developing a 1% Player Framework. Now, I do need to start with this and tell you that this is not the same as a 3% or a 1% parent blueprint. This is about helping develop a player to be a 1%, and this is a framework. It will not have every single detail, but it is a guide to help you as a parent understand the details necessary for them to be able to be a 1% player. And that's very important for people to understand. Now, let's look at this. When will you know your child is a 1% player? Great question. There are a few ways to know while you live in the United States. This is not the end all be all, but these are a couple of ideas. Number one, big clubs that are not MLS academies will 100% sponsor your child to play. That means no fees for training, leagues, tournaments, registration, etc. So this means your child plays for a club that is not free, it's pay to play, but the club is sponsoring your child to play completely free. That means they believe that your child is very good, and this does happen contrary to popular belief. I've seen it happen in Orlando 14 times. Okay. Two, your player is invited to join an MLS academy. This means that MLS academy believes that they are one of the best players for their age group, at least in the area or within their respective territory, wherever they're located. So that's important, because if the MLS Academy thinks they're good, they're making that investment into your player. That's why it says 100% free, but there is a trade-off, which means they own your player's rights, which is time for another video. Okay, three, your player is able to play UPSL Premier Division by 15 years old and have significant impact. Now, UPSL is an adult division that has two levels, Division 1 and Premier. From my experience, Division 1 is the lower tier, and this is like a MLS Academy level, whereas UPSL Premier is closer to an MLS or like a college level, for example. So there's a lot of good teams that play UPSL Premier, a lot of guys that were former college players and whatnot. And if your player at 15 years old can make that type of impact, that means you know they're probably a 1% player. Number four, your player is on the radar of the U.S. youth national teams and has been invited to training camps, right? And that's pretty obvious, okay? Like I said, there may be more ways. However, these are the ones that are key indicators for me that your player living in the United States showcases higher level performance. Now, again, this is not the end all be all. Just remember that, okay? To be a 1%, performance is key. And yes, that is true. Performance is key regardless of if you think you're a good player or not. Because almost every single parent that I meet believes that their child is possibly the next superstar. However, to be a superstar, the player has to be performing on the field. Here is the catch though, and this is how I'm gonna break this down for you. Many players can dominate playing bronze division, which is basically the lowest division. Some players can dominate playing silver division. Few players can dominate playing gold division. And then 1 to 2 players can dominate playing the beast division. Now you might be asking, Kyle, what is the beast division? Great question, here's the answer. Playing at least at the highest level, 2 years up. So you're able to play at the highest level, 2 years up, at least 2 years up, above your age group. So if you're a U14, you're able to play at least U16 and dominate. That's what a beast division is, in my opinion, or higher. If your player can do that, that means they are a beast. And a lot of people are going to say, well, not many kids can do that. That is the point. You're right. Not many players can play at least 2 years up and dominate, but it does happen. It's not many of them. That's why it's a 1% player. That's the whole point of this framework for you to understand. And you might say, well, I don't think that's fair. It's not fair. 100% not fair. Agreed. That's why they're a 1% player. That's the whole point. Okay. Now, moving forward, to develop a 1% player, there are quite a few pieces that need to occur in order for the long-term success to transpire. And here are a couple of things. Again, this is not the end-all be-all. Player has to want it. The player has to work for it. The player has to be committed to the process. The player has to do the right things on and off the field. The player has to perform
on the field and dominate, not just perform, but dominate. And then the last one, the player has to be willing to train every single day on and off the field. Now, by on and off the field, like I've mentioned previously, this could be watching game film, studying content. This could be taking classes on nutrition, whatever it is. Maybe it's the mental mindset course that I have on my YouTube channel. Whatever it is, the player has to be willing to do that stuff. And if you can check off all those boxes, that means your player probably wants it. And they're getting closer, if not already being a 1% player. Just remember, it's not the end-all be-all. Now, in order for a player to be a 1%, you're going to need all of the following three pieces for it to happen. One, a player who is bought in. Just like I mentioned previously, they have to be wanting to do this. Two, you need parents or a parent that are bought in. If you have a player that's bought in but no parents that are bought in, it's almost impossible. It's not impossible, but almost impossible. That's important. And then the third one would be a coach or coaches that care about doing the right thing for their development. And that's very important because you can have one and two, but if you don't have a coach, then again, it becomes very, very hard to do. Now, all three are a must for players to have a long-term chance of being successful. Missing even just one of three puts the philosophy into chaos unless, and this is important, unless the player is a generational talent. Okay, next one. Having a player and parent bought in is excellent, but if you haven't found a coach who cares and can actually train your child using developmentally appropriate training, you need to find a coach. This is important. If you don't have a coach that's willing to do the right stuff developmentally, it's a huge issue. Now, you're probably thinking, how am I going to find a coach? Great, here it is. How are you to find a coach that knows and cares about development? Here is my advice. Number one, look at Kyle's age-appropriate development framework, which is my curriculum that shows you the type of activities the player should be doing on and off the field, or it's really on the field during their age group. Okay, two, do they follow a methodology close to Kyle's Obsession Beast program? You can find these sessions on my YouTube channel for free. They're all posted there. And I think you'll find a lot of value from that. Next one. Three, the coach's focus is on technical skills between 7 to 13 years old. You may remember that there are over 100 technical game-based skills that players need to learn. There's over 100 of them. The key range is between 8 to 13 years old that they learn these skills and be introduced to them. Anything later, they're going to be in trouble. Four, the coach is using juggling. Very important. With the shoelaces, not the toe. The toe is a freestyle technique. We're not looking to make freestylers. And you can go to YouTube and search freestyle world championships and you'll see the toe juggling all day. You won't really see the shoelace juggling. That's why we're a big fan of it. And that's a key tool for training, especially for younger players. Five, the coach uses a lot of small-sided games like 1v1 through 5v5 to develop abilities and skills. And this is simply because 1v1 to 5v5 is the best training tools, especially for players that want to be a 1%. Because they have to attack, they have to defend, they have to transition and do everything in between and play multiple roles. The coach is willing to push players up 2 years and if they show the level to compete. If they don't have the level, then they can't, obviously, but if a coach is willing to make that sacrifice, that means they believe the player has level to do so. Okay, next part here. Understand, and we've talked about this briefly, so I'll just kind of summarize it within the main part of the 3% parent blueprint. The three zones for player development. Zone one, development and preparation zone, which is birth to 15 years old. Zone two, which is the opportunity window, which is 15 to 19 years old plus, so it can be older. And then zone three, this is when you're actually at the next level, like an MLS academy, pro academy, college, whatever it is, right? And that's what you gotta determine what zone is your child in. And you know what you need to do. You should remember this, so I'm not gonna get into it. Now, next part, what are you as parents willing to sacrifice along with your player to make the dream a reality? So if your child says, I want to be a Division I college player or be a pro or get to an MLS academy, there's going to have to be a lot of sacrifices. And if there's not sacrifices, then it would be unreasonable to expect that the player could actually get there. You may be fortunate, that does happen sometimes, but being prepared is key. And if you're not willing to make those sacrifices, it would be unreasonable to think that you can actually get there. So some ideas that might have to be adjusted. Plan vacations. Making sure that the child's season, your player's season, is the priority. Training, games, and events. Willing to go virtual and homeschool for additional hours of training in zone one and zone two to maximize development. That way you can focus on, for example, position-specific training. That's important. Okay? For this, the player, high school parties. Are you willing to avoid parties in high school? A lot of people say yes, but when they get time to make that decision, they make the wrong decision. Got to deal with that. A normal student social life. So this means if they're a non-athlete, they can do what they normally do. But as somebody that has a goal that wants to get to an alpha level, there's a lot of sacrifices you need to make, and that's going to be a normal social life. Going to sleep early to make sure they are well rested for the next day. And this kind of ties to a normal social life and parties. You need to be in bed by 9, 10 o'clock to make sure you're recovered for the game tomorrow. If you're going out until 3 a.m. and doing things you probably shouldn't be doing, that's going to greatly impact your performance. Maybe not right away, but with time, it will absolutely ruin your performance. Eating junk and fast food or sugary products. This includes drinks. This includes candies and things like that. You have to start limiting those hard, those type of sacrifices that need to be made. Daily stretching habits to increase injury prevention and long-term performance and flexibility. Stretching is huge. Pro players talk about all the time how they do that to take care of their body. And you got to determine how much are we willing to sacrifice to help the player get there. Next one. Are you willing to play at least 2 years up or go play adult level competition at 15 years old? And you got to look at these three things. Woo! One, my son or daughter can only play their age group. Then it's not realistic for them to be a 1% player. It would be unreasonable to think that they were. And two, we are willing to give him or her the opportunity to play up if they have the level. Do they have the level? And that's important. They have to have the level to be able to play up. Otherwise, it's just a waste of everybody's time. Three, we want him or her to play against adults no later than 15 or 16 years old to earn their next move. There you go. And this is based on being in the United States. Because if they can play against adults at 15 or 16 years old, maybe slightly younger too, they have the opportunity to potentially get to the next level. And I don't just mean just play, though. They have to actually be able to perform, but that's, again, a separate point. Okay? Now, next one. We're almost done here. How do you as a parent behave on the sideline? Do you follow the advice I've given in regards to Roberto Carlos and his methods? Roberto Carlos, who is a World Cup winner with Brazil in 2002, I had the privilege of watching him watch his nephew, who is in my program, and the entire time watching him watch his nephew play, he's smiling, waving, clapping. No instruction. And if anybody would have the right to do so, it would be him. Or are you that parent that is toxic, that likes to talk bad about players on the field that aren't even your kids, or that's not your child? You shouldn't be talking about anybody. You should just be quiet and watching. That's it. And don't be a joystick that goes like this and say, run here, do this, kick it, boot it, send it, kick, 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 kick. Nope, we're not a joystick parent. You're a, hopefully, 3% parent. That's why you're in this class. And those are things that will help you get there. Okay? This is all about giving them the opportunity and the freedom to play and enjoy the game. And remember, this is the player's game, not your game. How do you behave on the sideline? Okay? Two left. How do you handle the card rides to and from practice and games? These are the recommendations that I have for that moment. Now, I am not a parent, but these are the things that I would want to implement for my child to make sure they have the best opportunity to be successful at training and games. Let your player mentally check in. Their choice of music or anything they need. So I would let my player do their thing. Whatever they need to do, they're going to do it. I would ask them if there's anything they need or want. I would just ask. I wouldn't tell them. I would ask. Ask them what they want to eat or do after the game. This is specifically for the post game, but you're back in the car. We're not talking about the game. What do you want to eat? Especially if it was a travel game. Okay? Do not berate or put them under pressure about their performance or game. If they want to talk about it, then provide support. This is very important because, yeah, it's great. You're a parent. You may have your opinion. Cool. I would have my opinion too. But it's not my place to give it unless they ask. If my son comes in the car and says, hey, Dad, I want to talk about the game, I'd be like, okay, what do you want to talk about? And he's going to say, how do you think XYZ went? And I'll say, it's up to you if you want to talk about this. We don't have to do it now, but I'll give you my opinion about X and about Y and about Z. Or we can save it for later, son, no problem. You know, that's up to him. But I wouldn't go on a whole tangent about it. I would give him 1, 2, 3 points and that's it. Okay? So how do you manage the car ride? Is it freedom and your kid can just be a kid? Or are you forcing this on them? Now, last one. Did your player prepare themselves to get ready for practice and or games? And this is important. if I'm the parent, or when I am a parent, I am not going to be getting my child's stuff ready. Maybe at a younger age, like 8 and 9, okay, I'm going to help them, but I'm not going to do it for them. I'm going to say, hey, here's your stuff. This is how we do this. You teach them the first time, you know, maybe for a week or whatever it is, but then you're going to say, this is your responsibility. You want to go to practice, or you need to go to your game. This is what you need to do. Otherwise, we might not make it to the game today, kid. And that's how I would handle that. But anyways, this is a huge piece for me. Players need to own their own gear and equipment. This is their dream, not my dream. They need to prepare their own bag, equipment, water, cleats, and uniform. Now, could I help them with the water? Maybe. But I want to get them to a point where they are self-sufficient to handle these things themselves. So, items. Cleats, shin guards, water. They take care of that. Uniform. Training and games. Both away and home kits if it's a game. Any other necessary items that they would need for practice. Maybe they have asthma, they need an inhaler. Whatever it is, they need to make sure that they bring their stuff, okay? In your family, who is the one that prepares the player's equipment? Is it you or is it your child? If it's you, that's gonna be a longer issue, and you're basically micromanaging them versus allowing them to learn how to self-sufficient or become self-sufficient, I should say. Anyways, this is the framework of the Developing 1%. Make sure you download the copy, the PDF, that way you have it for yourself and you can go through it as necessary. But these are things to help you understand. It's not the end all be all, but to help you understand what is necessary for a player to be a 1%. See you guys in the next video. Let's go. If you want more information, I have my age development curriculum that you can watch and look at for free on my YouTube channel, Kyle C. Wilson Official. All you need to do is just smash that subscribe button when you get there, and we'll see you there.